Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, okay, before we talk to Kristen Johnson, Travis, I want to make sure I look like an ingenue still.
Well, she's going to get here ready, so you better do it fast.
Because she looks fantastic.
Yes.
Plexiderm, little dabble do ya under your eyes, right? It's like magic how fast it works.
It's like dippity-doo for your eyes.
I heard all the sexy liberals talking about it. Bob Seska, Kimberly Johnson having slap fights over it. Frances Callier and her husband, right? I'm telling you.
I'm just going to steal your jar when you're not here.
Okay. It really is like magic. I've used it now. A little dabs under the eye, and it works. Here's what happens. Look. Isn't that nice? I have a pretty smile. But no, look, wrinkles around my eyes.
Oh, your eyes. You want me to look at your eyes?
Yes.
They're flawless. Yeah, I wasn't even noticing
up here,
them.
Travis, up here. Up here. My eyes are up here.
Was not even noticing how perfect your eyes are.
You're always sexualizing me and making me just a plaything for you. I've had it with you. Plexiderm, it's a clinically studied serum. It visibly eliminates under eye bags and wrinkles in minutes. Minutes, do you hear that? The science behind Plexiderm. It is incredible. Crow's feet, wrinkles, under eye bags, right?
I'm going to start calling you Bright Eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Check that baggage, man. Put that in the overhead. With Plexiderm. There's a real life video with real life people. See how fast the crow's feet, wrinkles, and under eye bags disappear. Those results backed up by Plexiderm's 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Go to TryPlexiderm.com and type in sexy liberal for my discount. TryPlexiderm.com. The code is sexy liberal or call 1-800-685-1292 and mention sexy liberal. Let's talk to Kristen. Oh my God. Happy, happy hour. Multiple Emmy Award winning actress from Third Rock from the Sun, Kristen Johnson.
Hello.
Author of the fantastic new book, Guts.
It's not new, but thank you.
Okay, it's new to me.
It's new to you.
Okay, Travis, can you confirm this?
Yes.
On our insane work schedule and all of our, you know how much news in this shit show, Trump.
See that stack of papers right there?
I can't hear her.
Oh.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I know why.
I mean, because I can read lips, but...
It's probably best if you can't.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. Now you can hear me?
Yes, please. Okay. Continue.
Okay, well, now this is better. Travis can confirm, I don't think I've ever actually had time to read someone's book. I've read this cover to cover because it's so fantastic. It's such an easy read. It's so funny and bawdy and honest and raw. And you've got to get this book. It is Guts... The Endless Follies and Tiny Triumphs of a Giant Disaster. We've been talking about it on the regular show.
Thank you.
It's good. I normally just Larry King you. I'm just Kristen Johnson. Now you're
back.
From, you have
read
a book.
Liner notes.
You know Larry never read a fucking book.
Oh, no. He's never seen a movie. Nothing.
No. See that stack of papers over there?
What?
That stack of papers on the
front?
That's what she has to read for tomorrow's show.
Oh, wow.
That's why she never reads anyone's book.
That's
you have to do
afternoon
homework.
Stack.
Oh,
then there's forget a,
it.
Yeah, and then there's a morning. Okay.
Okay. I thought it was hard reading scripts. Never mind.
Yeah. Not in this administration.
Whatever, Emmy. Okay. This is how it would go if it was Larry King, right? It'd be like, Kristen Johnson's here from Cheers. And she's written a book, Guts, and this is about what? You were a stomach doctor? Tell me what it...
I just loved it because you could tell he didn't do a lick of had no idea. Just, you have a book.
Also, midway through the show, would forget who people were. Like, midway through, he'd be like, so you were on Charlie's Angels. And she's like, no, dude.
He'd be like, Chicago, you're on with Ellen Barkin.
And it's Cheryl Teagues.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we just, where do we start with how much I love, how much I love you? I'm just, I waited to slobber. Well,
there's the way you met.
Look, I'm sweating. Okay. Yes, because this is the famous story. Kristen Johnson brought my dog Puff home.
Oh my God.
You live near
and
me in Laurel Canyon.
I did not remember this when you told me this.
I was like, this is like, I said, this is what it's like to live in Hollywood. I'm like, Emmy Award winning sitcom stars bring your dog home. And I was like, is that the really tall girl from Third Rock from the Sun? Because my gate was really tall. But I was like, wow, she is tall. Why?
I don't even remember. I wonder how I like found him and happened.
Now that I've read your book about being a pill popping lush.
Yeah, I was probably wasted.
You probably got plastered, stole my dog. And then brought her back as if to go.
To get a little, yeah, to get some worship.
Look at what a do-gooding actress I am. I found your dog. Why does Puff smell like Chardonnay?
That's your fault.
yeah, right. I'll only take so much blame.
Those were my pre-drinking years. We have a lot to talk about.
Okay.
So
let's cover it. Let's go there.
Let's go. No, I don't even know where to start because that was hilarious that you brought Puff home and you were so nice. I just remember you were so nice and down to earth even then.
Because it really could have gone either way at that time.
Yeah.
You never know.
Could have been a bar fight.
Which one you would have gotten.
Yeah.
No, I'm very glad about that. You were in Laurel Canyon?
I love that when you said that in the book, you're like, some stuff I didn't write about because I really don't fucking remember. I don't.
I was like, well, I could just make shit up. But, I don't know. That would be a little awkward.
But, anyway, can I just, I told this story on the air this week. You, okay. Well, Allison Janney, I know Allison Janney. Yeah, okay. To see two actresses of your level work together on Mom is so extraordinary. And I don't know if they base the character because she's a pill head. And she's, your character's out of prison.
They didn't base it on me. No.
Okay.
They actually, it was kind of a different character. Well, they called me and wanted me to do one episode like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I did play this, you know, woman who grew up in foster care with Allison Janney's character. And she was kind of, you know, hates Allison and blames her for everything that went wrong in her life. So Allison goes to prison to like do an AA meeting. And we run into each other because we knew each other from foster care. So anyway, I hate her and blame her. And then we end up, I end up worshiping her. And so because they wanted to bring me back. So, but when I did that episode, you know, the producers were like, we definitely want you back. And I'm like, yeah, right. You know, please.
Yeah.
You know, that's all they always tell you that.
Yeah.
And it never happens. And then they called me last year and were like, we want you to come back and like be on the show.
Yeah.
And I was so excited. And the director actually calls us the Twin Towers of Comedy, which in itself isn't that funny. But we really are two just giant, giant comedians. So it's pretty fun. And I've known her for years. I just love her.
Oh, she's fantastic.
I just love her. Yeah.
She's fantastic.
What you see is what you get with her. I mean, she just really is the
coolest. No, she reminds me of you. Just so funny and warm and down to earth. And
That's a huge compliment. Thank you.
But seriously, to have like two like Emmy Award winning sitcom actresses of your stature going at it. I was telling the story on the air about this scene is one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen where you grab a bottle of pills and you down the whole bottle of pills. And then Allison is like squeezing your face like a human Pez dispenser and you're just like, like a little,
and they
like,
never
three
stop
come out,
coming
four
out.
Come out. And then it just goes on and on. He's like, Allison's like, no, and keep going. And you're just like,
she is my favorite to act with because she knows exactly how to approach like a scene like that, which is just so technical, but like really fun. And we talk, you know, there's no delicacy. You're not like walking on eggshells like, hey, can you tell me? It's all like, what about this? Would this be funnier? You know, so you work and you can see that on camera. Yeah. I think you can see us loving to work together.
Yeah. Oh,
and
no,
I think that comes across.
That's what I mean. It's such a joy to watch it because you can tell there's so much joy.
It's the best job I've ever had, ever. I mean, I cannot wait to get to work every day.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
Well, I mean, people love you from obviously different things multiple Emmys for Third Rock from the Sun, of course, but Wilma in the Flintstones, the X's. I've heard people this week said, oh my God, I love her on the X's. And now Mom, and it's just, you just keep recreating yourself.
I should be dead, frankly.
Yes.
But, you know, every time I go back to New York or do theater or whatever, and then I come back, it's always like a comeback or whatever.
Right.
And I'm just like, look, I just do my thing. You know, honestly, I've just been doing my thing for a long time.
Yeah.
So if more people can enjoy it, that's obviously a huge thrill. But, you know, for me, it's just work.
Yeah.
I just love to work. So,
Okay. I don't,
don't know where else to start, but okay.
We already had a great political discussion going down here. She's ready to play ball.
Well, she's ready to
I'm ready
roll.
To throw
yeah.
down.
Well, because we talk about this a lot in terms of the addiction area. Because you, where was this? You were talking about, I've been following you on Twitter. Somebody tweeted, it's a fucking chore to stay sober through this administration. You said it really is, but we're going to do it because there's no way we're giving that fool our recovery.
Yeah.
And I talked to our mutual friend, Proud Resister, about it.
Yeah.
And I said, I have a t-shirt that says, I'm not sure how much longer my liver can handle Donald Trump.
It's so true. I thank God I'm sober, because if I wasn't,
right.
I mean, I don't know what would have happened, you know, with him. So I'm just glad that I can be sober, and I will not let that asshole make me relapse. And that's the, I mean, forget it. But yeah, you know, I've definitely, it's really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is a struggle, because you just, sometimes you just have to shut your brain off. And what easier, faster way is than drugs, you know?
But also psychologists say, just turn it off, and we can't.
Yeah.
Because it's our job. And we're hearing a lot of incidental, you know, we've
relapses
seen this from
stuff.
Right, people that already are struggling with substance, and is psychologists saying, I mean, this is a real, we're not making this up. This is a real thing
that,
I guess
people
as an expert,
really
I'd like
started,
to ask you,
are harming
if
themselves.
A person is up to, let's just say edging up to 3 glasses of Chardonnay a night, is that?
You're asking for a friend.
I'm asking for a friend.
Right.
At what point would I
be concerned?
Yes, because I've tried to moderate more, and then I that's the thing, is you're right. I know I shouldn't
honestly
hate him and take it personally, but I do.
Well, it's, look, you know, alcohol is there for a reason, and you know, if you can handle it, that's great. I can't, but a lot of people can. So I don't know, for each person it's so different. I would say for me, if alcohol or pills change your personality, if you have that fourth gin or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're a raving psycho lunatic, that is a big indication that there's a problem. Or if you take a couple nights off and then you find it a real struggle, you might have an issue. But again, I'm not a pro, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I can only speak for myself, and you know, my guts blew up, and that was pretty much my indication that there was a problem.
That's
so.
Yes, when your guts explode and you end up in a London hospital for several months.
That's my indicator.
How you know you might have a problem. No, wait, because that's the thing. You said, you know, a couple, or you know, whatever much alcohol, but you said your real problem was, how many pills were you up to a day?
Oh my God. You know, honestly, I had such a resistance. I'd built up such a huge resistance that near the end, and this is so shocking to people, and they can't believe it unless they're a pill addict themselves. Yeah. And then they're like, of course. But I could take 80 a day for sure.
Yeah.
Of Vicodin or whatever. I mean, and not, and I'm honestly not feel anything.
I remember reading this and thinking, I couldn't believe you were alive.
I couldn't believe it either.
Yeah, I was like, holy.
I know.
I mean,
you have to understand, that took years and years to build up. And obviously, if I took that amount today, I'd be dead. Yeah. No problem. But I mean, by that point, even just to feel like to not go into detox, that would be the amount I would take. It was crazy and horrible. And there is no greater hell. I feel like I'm in a freedom. Everything else is just cake after that, really.
And I should point out, we've had Charlie Sheen on the happy hour. So the fact that I was impressed.
Yeah. Well, it gets really dark.
A lot of addicts that we've had on that talk about it say that it's not just, you can't just stop it.
No.
Wine, that opens a lot of stand-ups had on.
Yeah.
They're like, they're out at the clubs, and it's like, well, booze, but then that led to coke, and then
this,
and then to whatever I can get my hands on. And then, you know, and it's a, but this is what I love about the book, is it's just so raw and honest, and, you know, you sort of say like, oh, that program shit, whatever.
No, I don't say that.
No, but I mean the way you talk how you approached it, where... Yeah. I love
how
you say you
did save my life. It really did. But yes, it's not the be all end all. It's whatever works for you.
But I mean, the fact that you talk about that, you still can have fun, that you kept thinking, oh, this is going to be like,
It's going to suck.
Right.
Yeah, well, I pictured, you know, like 10 dirty old men in a base church basement with like a light, you know, a naked light bulb. And like, I just wish we were using, you know, that's all I thought of what AA was, or recovery. And then to discover that actually it's all the awesome people that just stopped using.
Right.
You know, they're like, now they're sober and fun again. And honestly, it's, I highly recommend it.
I love, you talk about the first time you laughed when you were sober, and What a revelation that was. You're like, oh, I can still have fun.
Well,
I
not
don't
only
need
that,
to...
like the fact that it was a genuine laugh, which I don't think I genuinely laughed in like years at that point. You know, it was all like, oh, I should laugh here.
Drunken party laugh.
yeah, exactly. And this was like some genuine laugh. And I remember just the feeling of like euphoria, like the natural high that comes along with that.
Yeah.
And I think the first positive moment I had in recovery. I thought, oh, maybe I can do this.
I think that's so important for people to go, this is not the end of fun. It's the beginning.
And I really didn't know that. The reason I wrote this book and the reason I put so much humor and swear words into it is because when I was in rehab myself, all there was like, you know, Buddha for 12-steppers or whatever, which is fine. But I wanted to read a book like about someone's life that struggled,
a real person.
And that's why I wrote it. I wrote it for people struggling with addiction.
Yeah.
And, you know, other people just found it and love it too, which is great. But it's really for people struggling.
And I know you talk in the book about running into an agent that said, don't say that. It makes people uncomfortable. Don't talk about being sober. Don't. Yeah. And,
I was like, I'm writing a fucking book, you idiot. It's a little too late for that.
But also, it's such a service. And you don't know how many lives you've saved.
Yeah. Well,
with your honesty. And
it really is incredible. I get a lot of, over the years, people have reached out and a lot of people have been impacted. Like, you know, I read your book last night and I'm going to an AA meeting today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, how do you even deal with that? You know, it's really the proudest thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, you should be, because people look at you and go, oh my God, she's that amazingly glamorous, successful, you know, award-winning actress. And
God, she's a hot mess too. Awesome. You know?
Right, but that's so empowering.
Yeah, it is.
I heard somebody say once something that resonated with me. They said the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection.
Yes, I totally agree with that.
You talk about that, really connecting with people again.
Anybody can be sober.
Yeah.
You know, you just stop using. It's recovery and connection. That is what you strive for. And that's what, you know, that to me is what the joy of recovery is. It's not using.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that sucks, to be honest. But the joy of really, you know, really connecting with someone, of really being in the present moment.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But it means you're in the present moment for the shitty parts too. So
you
got to take the good with the bad.
I have to endure this person sober.
Yeah, exactly.
To endure Donald Trump sober. Okay.
By this person, you mean Donald Trump.
By this person.
Travis. It's like...
All right, let's take a break from actress competition in Hollywood and talk about people competing for the Plexiderm, right? Jody Hamilton and her husband.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Jody Hamilton is as pretty or prettier than Jody Hamilton. I hate to say it, and she is pretty. But they have slap fights over the Plexiderm because it works.
I need you to bring it down here in the mornings before the show because
at
4 a.m. when we're waking up for the radio show.
You're only my work husband. You're not getting my Plexiderm.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Plexiderm, I'm telling you, it does not take days or weeks. Plexiderm, clinically studied serum, visibly eliminates under-eye bags and wrinkles in minutes, right?
We don't have a lot of time in the morning.
Yeah.
Snap to it.
Yeah. If you've gotten to the point where you're like, should I smile for this picture because I'm on my under-eye wrinkles?
Maybe.
Right? It's time to get some Plexiderm. If you look older or tired because of crow's feet, wrinkles, or under-eye bags, or being constantly undermined by your coworkers, get Plexiderm. You can look younger in just minutes and like you worked with, you know, nicer, more supportive people. Right, Travis?
Yeah, I need it.
I'm talking about me. Watch a real-life video with real-life people. See how fast crow's feet, wrinkles, and under-eye bags disappear. The results backed up by Plexiderm's 30-day satisfaction guarantee. TryPlexiderm.com. Type in SEXYLIBERAL for my discount. TryPlexiderm.com. Code is SEXYLIBERAL. Or call 1-800-1292 and say, Sexy Liberal.
That's right.
Speaking of who, hi, Kristen. You are a woman after my own heart, politically. I love you. I'm following you on Twitter. Oh, I know the thing that I retweeted because it's some woman like going back and forth like this high wire, and you're like me trying to decide between Harris and Warren.
That's me. It's so true. Every day I go back and forth. I mean, honestly, I wish we could have them both. I really do.
Me too.
In a perfect world,
if you can have Allison Janney and Kristen Johnson on the same show, like,
right.
Why
couldn't you have them both be president?
Right.
Co-president.
Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, I think they're the best candidates.
I do too.
And I think
but
there's
I
a
really
fear.
Am torn. I'm they're, officially torn between them, which I'm really worried about. I think a lot of people are.
Me too. But yeah. I think that's what's as a comedian. It's like, oh, we can't have a woman comic. We had one last month.
At
the Yuck Yucks or whatever. I mean,
So
that's what I mean about it. You go, God, why is that? I feel like right now it's early, but there's the polling is showing fear.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, we can't. Maybe it can't be a woman because what happened to Hillary?
Yeah,
it can't be a black person because look at how racist the backlash is. I mean,
here's the thing. I wish people would stop listening to all the polling crap because you know what? Who the fuck knows what's going to happen?
Right.
And, you know, people like Pelosi, whoever, seem to be making decisions. We were talking about this, Travis, earlier. People who make political decisions based on their, what do you call it?
Polling or...
Yes.
Yeah. Don't follow your heart. It's what it is. It's who people think can win.
Yes.
It's the question is, who do you think can win?
Yeah,
who do you want?
We don't want to do an impeachment process because, you know, it won't actually go through the Senate. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Isn't there such a thing as it should happen because it's the right thing to do? You know, anyway, but we don't have to go into that. But I mean, you know, the whole thing of like Warren or this or that, I'm not going to listen to any of them. I'm listening to myself and I'm going to vote obviously blue because I can't with these people. But also, I'm going to vote at the end of the day with, you know, who really gets my heart. And they both do for me.
Yeah, no, me too.
You know, it's a champagne problem, you know.
Yeah, well,
not
without the champagne.
Booze.
I mean, non-alcoholic champagne.
It's non-alcoholic champagne problem.
Of course. Did they make that? Okay. If so, I'm going to get some.
If so, it sucks, probably. But anyway.
Yeah, probably fucking blows, but okay. But no, you are like my soulmate on Twitter. You just, because you
had
the same.
I get into so much trouble.
You had the same
Twitter.
Reaction we did to the send her back. Chance, like literally, I found myself like upset to a degree that I haven't even been. That I'm like, this is so dark and
so worrisome.
Hillary,
like,
and
I
just
really like
yeah.
I want to go to Washington and protect Omar. I really do want to kick the ass of
you're
anyone
like,
trying to kill
her. She's gonna get killed. I mean,
I'm
like someone's
so
gonna get killed.
About it. Yeah, it's really scary. And not only that, the lives of all these people down at the border. I mean, I'm just like, when did this?
Yeah.
When did we lose our souls? Like, I've always disagreed politically with Republicans just because they care. At that point, back in the day, they cared about different things than I cared about. And that's okay, you know. Yeah. My dad was a Republican state senator. We disagreed.
I haven't gotten to the whole part about we're like the same person, except for the Emmys and the success. I work in my basement. But go ahead.
No, but he, you know, I disagreed with him a lot on his issues, but I never disagreed with him morally. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, that's why I feel like we've gone off the rails onto a whole other level.
My dad. Obviously Republican, but prosecutor at Nuremberg. I say over and over again, I'm like, both sides are fine people when there's Nazis on one side. No, we covered this.
Yeah. It's really, I mean, that's why, like, I really honestly do miss John McCain and people like that.
Yeah.
Where I feel like, I mean, maybe he wouldn't have. I don't know. That would have been a crusher. But I feel like someone like him would have stood up and said, what are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I love how you give Trump shit like right back on Twitter. You said Trump just brought up a
like
far right.
Like he cares about me.
You'd be surprised.
Oh, really?
Thin-skinned.
Trump just brought up. Wait till you get a nickname.
I can't wait.
Trump brought up a far right conspiracy theory that Representative Omar married her brother. And you're like, well, I heard you raped a 13-year-old.
It's not even funny, but it kind of is.
I know, but talking about morals.
I was like,
just morals.
I was like, who are you? Who are you to spread rumors? Oh, but I don't know anything. Shut up.
Some people say this is what I'm hearing.
The thing is, he's a blowhard. I grew up in, I mean, I spent most of my 20s, 30s, and 40s in New York City. So people who spent a lot of time in New York know a lot about Trump. Okay. And we know that he is an absolutely full of shit asshole who really is dumb and just a braggart. I mean, he's just a fool. And so these people taking him seriously, it just blows my mind. And serious people taking him seriously.
Yeah.
Like serious politicians who had ethics.
And I can't stand the punditry. Well, what do you think the president's thinking? He probably just threw his poo at the wall because somebody said something mean about him. I can't. All right. This is, can I have my masterpiece theater music? You know, I am nominated for the Radio Hall of Fame, and that's where the similarities and acclaim with multiple Emmy Award winning actress Kristen Johnson. And but we were both born in Washington, D.C., Catholic school.
Wow.
Degree in theater.
Wow.
Mine didn't go quite as far as yours. I ended up here in my basement doing fart jokes. Worked for Marcy Carsey on the Oxygen Network. You, obviously, on Third Rock from the Sun.
Uh-huh.
Your dad was a Republican legislator in Wisconsin, right?
You grew up in Washington?
I was born in Washington.
Where'd you grow up?
In Buffalo, New York.
Okay. Oh, my God.
And you grew up near Milwaukee.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And your dad was a Republican state senator.
State legislator, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Wait, there's one more that you were in. Okay, I was looking at your illustrious theater career. But wait a minute. Where is the...
You were in Hotkeys.
Yes.
In Naked Angel. So was I.
What?
I was in Naked Angel.
I played Mickey Shyskoff.
Wasn't it a bunch of one acts?
Yeah. No, it was a show, a serial, like a soap opera, written by one man named Jeff Weiss.
Okay.
And every week was different. So you might have just been in one scene
or
something.
I was in New York in the late 80s when Hot 97.
Late 80s. It was probably like early 90s, I think. Okay. Yeah, like 92. 93. Yeah. But yeah, I was the star of that show, darling.
Oh, well, I was not. No, I was it was Naked Angels
was
Theater Company,
deal.
And it was called
Hotkeys,
and I did a one-woman.
Wow.
I did a one-woman, just it was like a one-woman,
yeah,
it was a series of
sometimes you would have
one-acts.
Different people come on and stuff. Oh, that's fantastic.
And I remember, I'll never forget, so I've told this story before, but Philip Seymour Hoffman used to be at the back of the theater every night watching me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember, and I had the biggest crush on him. He looked like a genius.
I went to school with him. He was acting class at NYU.
Oh my God, he looked like a young Ron Howard. Big, thin, big,
such
bush.
Such a sweet guy.
Nicest guy ever.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I used to go out for like coffee with him, whatever. And he was the sweetest guy. And he used to be at the back of the theater. I remember I asked him, I'm like, why are you back there every night watching? And he goes, you're just so funny. I want to learn from you.
I mean, come on.
I'm like, well, that guy's never going to be anybody. He is obviously no.
Yeah, that's so him. That was that he was so cool like that. I just
he
love
was
that.
Super cool.
Yeah, I really
but I mean,
loved
isn't
him.
Isn't that like I was in the light of thinking about that and reading your book and I thought
wow,
like,
there are
there
definitely...
but for the grace of God, right? I mean, you think this wildly talented guy and and it's
oh no, I think about it all the time. I mean, I really should have been where he. I mean, I should be dead for sure. So I feel very lucky. And you know, for him, you know, he's so much more than his addiction. Yeah. You know, he's such a spectacular, he was such a great guy and so cared so passionately about theater. I mean, it was his main obsession. So I think that one of the saddest things of people losing their lives so young to addiction is their life almost becomes defined by that one stupid, horrible mistake.
Yep.
And that's the biggest shame for me, you know, that someone like that now it's colored, his whole life, his whole oeuvre of work is colored by this terrible mistake he made.
Yeah, he was so brilliant even then.
Yeah,
I remember so young.
And,
So what was I going to say? Okay, so wait a minute. I just can't. I can't even with all this. So
you crack me up still.
So you were in the lights at Lincoln Center.
Yeah.
Nominated for a Drama Desk Award, and that's where Carsey Warner saw you.
Yes.
I worked for Marcy Carsey on the Oxygen Network.
Yeah.
But I love the whole, like... You can talk about like how sort of what's the word, like just insecurity and like just soul crushing the acting business can be, because you like you talk about how many times you had to come back.
Oh, 8 times
for the role of Sally Solomon. And they're like, well, they love you, but they love Kirstie Alley more.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
love you, but they're checking Ellen Barkin's availability.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rosie O'Donnell might be available, so just hang on. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, it always amazes me that actors turn out so egomaniacal, because it is the most humbling business in the world. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how do you become an egomaniac in this business where, you know, on Twitter, people call you a fat pig every day, you know what I mean? Or whatever, or you just are rejected constantly.
Right.
But so it does keep you humble. There are moments like this where someone's going, oh, you're so good. But most of it's, you know, kind of sucks in terms of that. So it keeps you, evens you out.
Well, yeah, but it is funny the parallels that you're now, you know, like I was talking about the pill scene on Mom, but I remember the final season of Sex and the City, where you played like the aging party girl who accidentally fell out the window right after you said, I'm so bored I could die.
Yeah.
So you fell out the window and died,
yeah.
which caused Carrie Bradshaw to reexamine her life.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, I've been pals with Sarah for years from New York, and also that whole crowd, you know, Michael Patrick King and all those guys on the show. And so they asked me to do a bunch of episodes, but I never could because I was on Third Rock. And then finally they were like filming their last 5 episodes. They were like, we have this gem of a part. And I did it. And I remember when it aired, you know, I was living in New York at the time, and I had never gotten more attention for anything than for that little turn on that show. People were freaking out. They outgoing messages on their phone, like saying, I'm so bored I could die and stuff. It was really funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved doing that.
Yeah, but interesting. I mean, in terms of even, you know, dealing with addiction, issues of addiction, but in just such a funny way.
I've gotten cast as a lot of hot, drugged out messes. I don't know why. I really don't.
Tell, because I don't think Travis knows the story. So you talk about in the book, you started, this began in high school, addiction to alcohol and pills. So
when you say, because he was like, huh? When you said my guts blew up.
Yeah.
Your guts blew up. Well, you were in a play in London.
And my guts. Yeah. So, no, I was a boozer from way back, you know, Milwaukee. You just drank like in high school and stuff. And then for, you know, my 20s, I chilled out with it. And then in my 30s, I would say I'd been on Third Rock for about 4 years when I had a migraine and some doctor gave me morphine. And I remember thinking to myself, this is the answer.
Yeah.
This is absolutely what I've been seeking my whole life. I signed autographs in the lobby of a hospital. I was like, fabulous, you know. And, of course, it never was
morphine,
quite that
Morphine, the musical.
Morphine.
I'm going to do this on Broadway.
Anyway. Oh, my God. That would make a really funny musical.
Morphine, the musical. I just want a little bit.
Oh, my God.
A little,
that is pretty funny. Okay. Well, I wish I could sing. But anyway, so then the next 10 years were taken up, basically sucked up by the whole of addiction. I go to, and I do a lot of plays during this time, and I actually did manage to remain functioning. You know, I could go to rehearsals, I could do a performance and not be a hot mess until afterwards.
Yeah.
Or if I had a couple months off, I'd be a hot mess all the time. But so it was constantly negotiating with the addiction and trying to figure out a way for no one to find out. And then I go to London to do a play, and they sell, you know, over the Tylenol 3s over the counter, or they did at the time, you know. So I was like, well, if I take 50, it'll okay. But you know, that's the brain of the addict. Yeah. Anyway, so I had an ulcer. I didn't know I had it. And we opened on the show, and the next night, I'm not going to go into it because it's really gory, but in the book, it's about it. But my guts ended up ripping open, and I was awake for it, and ended up being in the hospital for 2 months. I mean, it was really, really,
got infected.
Yeah.
To go back
it
in.
It became septic. Oh. Yeah. It was really, really bad. And the craziest thing about London was it's under NHS. So as we're 2 months in a private room with two different surgeries, I'm trying to figure out which, you know, heirloom jewelry to sell.
This is
off my doctor bill.
Yeah.
And at the end, they're like, well, it's £2,000. And I'm like, for the whole thing. I mean, the whole thing, £2,000.
I mean, that's a great issue to talk about during this election. I mean, this is what's so
insane.
That's
why healthcare is so important.
I mean, and you're a hugely successful actress, and you're thinking, I'm going to be bankrupt.
Well, and I now have lupus, and thank God it's in remission. But for a long time, I had, you know, it's a really an ongoing disease, and there's a lot of medical care, and diagnosis was a nightmare. Anyway, so, you know, 2 years worth of medical procedures, you know, so I have good insurance, but if I didn't, there's no doubt I would be homeless. I don't know how people survive.
Yeah.
And so that is a huge issue for me. And I do think, you know, not to be facetious, but Elizabeth Warren does have a really good plan
she
for that.
She does have a plan for that.
She's got a plan for everything.
She does. Yeah. We know. But anyway, it is one of my bigger issues, for sure.
If you told her I want to do Morphine the Musical on Broadway, she would say I have a plan for that.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great, I mean, I that struck me so much in the
book. It struck me too. I couldn't believe it that we're, you know, basically one of the only nations that, you know, forces people to bankrupt themselves just because they're sick. I mean, it just is madness. It's just a mad.
I had a hernia surgery that ruptured at work, and they sent me to the ER, and it's like, oh, here's your bill.
Yeah.
And my insurance was like, oh, no, we don't cover that hospital.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like,
that's why when you go in for medical care, you got to make sure, because they'll keep you in a hospital and they'll be like, oh no, we stopped covering you like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, what?
Yeah. Oh, the best part was the
insurance company's like, well, don't lift things. Why were you lifting something?
Well, no, I thought it was my appendix had burst and I went into the doctor it was at work when it happened. So for 20th Century Fox. And they were like, you can't leave here unless it's in an ambulance.
Yeah.
And they made me take an ambulance to Cedars, and then
they didn't even cover it.
And they ran they ran all these tests and stuff because they thought it was my appendix. I CAT scan, everything.
Oh, you're screwed.
Literally, after it was all done, the doctor's like, yeah, we can't find anything wrong. And I was like, well, I had a hernia when I was an infant. Literally, doctor cups my balls and says, cough. And he's like, oh, yeah, it's a hernia.
You're like, I could have figured it out that out with my boyfriend.
Diagnosed this.
Oh my god!
Oh my god!
It's such a nightmare. Horror it really stories. Is. It really is horror stories. I've heard so many. I mean, people
but so,
just.
Because I forget this specific, you know, what order everything happened in.
Yeah.
So in terms of Because I think people really want to know, like, how do you get back from that bad addiction? And what was your, did you have a light bulb moment, or how did you?
Well, it was the book is about that, really, about one giant long-term light bulb moment. But basically, you know, when you spend 2 months alone in a foreign country trying to heal yourself, you know, you really do have a dark night of the soul. And that happened for me. I thought, you know, I'm going to die. I really am going to die if I don't get help. So I finished the play in London. I got up like 100 pounds thinner and finished the play, and then came in instantly to back to the US and went right into rehab. And so that's really how that process happened for me. But it was a long, it's like, you know, for the waking up from denial is a very long process.
Yeah. And you talk about how a very good friend of yours was one of the key, you know, the components in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my friend Marcy.
Wrote, wrote you a letter and said,
Laura, yeah.
Kristen, you're an addict.
Yes.
And you've been lying to all of us for such a long time.
I still blush thinking about it. I mean, it was such a scary moment in my life of someone just being honest with me and ripping this really, it felt like the world would end if someone told me that. You know, it really felt like my life would be over. She saved my life. Because she said it.
But in being through something that traumatic, you talk about sort of like the shame around that, like, I caused this, like, this wasn't that, you know, people think this was just, I had a medical misfortune, you know, it was the pills primarily, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, I mean, for people to understand, you know, addiction is the only disease, one of the only diseases that I know of that actually turns its user into someone unbearable and unsympathetic. I mean, it really turns you into a jerk, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really hard for people to still have compassion for the addict. It's hard for me. I have loved ones that are still using, and I just want to kill them. I'm so mad at them. You know what I mean? But I also go, you know, this is something, some people, you know, you want to go get it together, get sober. You know, and one of them, someone in my family is dying from it, you know? So I'm watching this person's life be drained. And, you know, I just go, well, what can I do? What can I do other than say, keep sober myself? That's all I can do.
Yeah. And has that been easier or harder at times? Is it harder when there's an orange fuck face in the Oval Office, for instance?
Well, it's not just him, sadly. You know, I mean, it's the whole group of people that I feel, you know, hate us, you know.
Yeah.
And I just really feel like, well, forgive me for using this word, but I really feel like an alien in this world. I really do. I'm sorry. I know it's tacky, but I do. I feel like I woke up and like suddenly it's not America anymore. It's not what I love about this country. It just feels like a strange,
like a weird parallel universe. Like,
yes. And I think if I was a using addict right now, I really do think I'd be dead because I don't think I could be able to, I don't think I'd be able to handle it the way I can when I'm sober.
All the same people irritate us. Kellyanne Conway asking a reporter what his ethnicity is. You said unbearable on every level. You also said you can't both sides this one, Mitch, but good effort.
He makes me crazy.
The both sides shit.
He makes me crazy.
He's the worst.
Right. He's the worst.
I mean, they literally were saying you are out of order for reading the president's actual comments on the House floor. Like, you're the one.
Yeah, it's crazy. The problem I have with the Democrats is I just want them to fight harder. I want them to understand that there is a huge group of people out there that have their backs and like want them to show up and fight.
Yeah.
And that's why I do love a lot of the Democratic presidential candidates, because I feel like for whatever reason, they are fighting for their guts.
They have
an
urgency about what is a crisis.
Yes.
Listen, I'm the Veruca Salt of impeachment. So don't. I want to.
I want it now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, she can do it. She's a well-known actress.
Daddy, I want it now.
Okay.
It's so true. And I you know, I understand needing to make sure you have your ducks in a row. But I really do think it's really empowering the wrong people to hold back from it. But, you know, I'm not in the ins and outs of Washington. So it might be a really smart move to make. From the outside, it doesn't look that great.
No, but I hope by the time we get to the Mueller hearing next week that we have, I mean, listen, we're at 95 people that went on the record for impeachment yesterday.
I'm a little worried it's not going to happen. I really am. But, you know, look, I'd be thrilled. I really would. Just because I think there are people out there who aren't on Twitter, who don't, you know what we know, aren't exposed to what, you know,
3%
to it a
read
lot.
The Mueller report.
Exactly.
Right? Look at how great that was when all the actors read it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think even better. Joy Reid just said this on our show the other day. The only way he's a TV show. The only way he can beat a TV show is with another TV show.
Exactly. And
you know
the problem
that.
Is they got ahead of it with Bill Barr going, oh, no collusion. You know, so the American people have been really sold. If they watch CNN for a half hour, you know, once a month or whatever, they're not on at the daily hourly things we are.
If it didn't happen on TV in America in 2019, it didn't happen.
Yeah. But especially, and this is what I've been saying, if Fox News, I really want people to stop paying attention to them.
Yes.
Because we pay attention to them and we give them all sorts of our energy.
That's what I loved about Elizabeth Warren leading both on impeachment and on I am not fucking going on Fox News and helping
because
them sell ads.
They are sick people. Yeah. I'm sorry. It is really like they have no problem absolutely lying to the American public. It makes me crazy.
Yeah.
I think of like Walter Cronkite or whoever.
I have a 96-year-old, you know, Trump voting Republican mom that's just been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and it's, you know, I don't want to fight with her. She's my mom. I love her to death, but she, years ago we'd have
maybe
conversations.
Maybe you could vote for her.
And I just would be like, Mom, that's not true. Where did you see that Fox News?
Always
no,
Fox. They really believe it's true, and that's that is so. It's so what they're doing in this country. Really, it breaks my heart. It really does.
I've asked at shows before how many people lost a friend or family member to Fox News, and every hand goes up.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
just that.
I think it really is one of the main problems in the country today. I really do. That network. I really do.
Yeah.
Oh, it's because something a conversation I had last week. Do you think that privilege that we have is that we're not somebody in middle America who's dealing with losing their farm, losing their crops, losing their friends to an opioid addiction? I can't say that word. Save my life.
Well, we are losing friends to opioid addiction, but I know what you're saying. We are the Hollywood elites.
But we have the privilege of being able to pay attention to the bigger narrative.
Yeah.
And what they're looking at are these symptoms of
their
the
life
problem.
And death issue of that day.
But those are the symptoms of Trump.
Yes.
Whereas we're looking at
the overall
what
I get it.
Trump is doing.
I think you're right. And you know what? That is the one thing that I think prevents anyone from actually listening to us. You know, they're like, oh, what do you know?
Why?
You live in Hollywood, you know, and I get it. I really do.
He's a Hollywood reality star.
I
mean, the whole thing makes your head.
I know.
Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Head explode.
Yeah.
It's so true. I mean, they don't know what.
And the fact that Christians support. Don't even get me started.
Yeah, don't even get
me started. All the same people annoy us. You said I deleted the Bernie insulters tweet because my response was kind of tacky. But the point remains, it's idiotic to think insulting someone else helps your cause. Stop it. Yeah. Personally attacking someone does your candidate no favors. And that's why we're in such a crisis, Kristen. Yeah. I agree with you. Just vote blue no matter who.
Yeah.
Make your, you know, be excited by who you're excited
about.
That's why
will not trash any of the candidates. I won't do it. I don't care. I won't do it. I will say the people I like, you know, but I just can't do it because you know what? Who cares?
I like everybody, Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris.
People have
they
their
make
issues.
Me pee a little bit. Yeah, I pee like a little bit. Oh, like I just did it again.
But everybody has their separate issues that really matter them.
Yeah.
You know, that if people connect to Mayor Pete because maybe they're gay issues or because he's such a smart, I mean, he's an amazing guy.
He's amazing.
He's
yeah.
really smart and probably any other election year, he'd be like the number one choice. You know, it's just where there's an embarrassment of riches, you know.
That's right.
I've never really gotten behind Marianne Williamson because she's never worked in Washington. She's never, you know, had a job in politics that I know of.
Right.
Did she?
The only thing else about Marianne Williamson is that if she would start every speech by saying, girlfriend, we're going to fix this with love. I'm in.
We talked about that this morning. We said, when she said, I will meet you on the battlefield of love.
I
and
know.
Then we were like, you know what? Maybe she has the right idea because maybe he's just going to start, he'll start blubbering about his daddy issues and then he'll quit.
Maybe.
There's really your right idea. He never loved me.
Well, you know, there are a lot of people talking about his health, that his health issues.
Oh, we're in a race against his arteries.
Well, whether it's his arteries or his dementia or Adderall addiction or whatever the heck is wrong with him, other than the fact that he's not a human. But I mean, you know, whatever is going on with him, because something's up, you know, that a lot of people talk about that. Or
we should. That's what I the punditry. Why are we talking about anything other than he was obviously a deeply unwell man?
Yeah. But they don't see that. They don't see it. I mean, I get from MAGA 1204 or whatever, you know, Ms. MAGA, you know, these people that are, they really love him. They love him. It's not him. I mean, whatever he represents to them. I mean, it's very cult-like. It really is.
No, I know. And that's what do we do with those people once he's gone? Because you're right. It's not
what
that
are,
they
where
even...
are we? How are we going to get them all help? You know?
Yeah, I don't.
We're going to need Elizabeth Warren's plan for healthcare.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Okay. She got plans.
Random question from the book. How many times have you thrown a dart at Lisa Kudrow's headshot?
I never did.
That was from the book. That was a joke. It's a joke. It's a competitive thing. They're all up for all the same things.
Yes.
You know, it's
she's a genius.
If you ever get Lisa Kudrow down to your basement, I'm going to ask her that question.
Yeah.
We've had her on the regular show. So, all right. The other thing I love is you have not only are you doing all this great work by doing this book and talking about it, you have Slam.
Yeah.
Right? Which explain what that is.
Well, it's actually we folded in with a group in Boston that has three different sober high schools. Because we couldn't quite get it off the ground in New York, but we raised a lot of funds for it, and now the school's really successful in Boston, and they treat a lot of teenage addicts. It's for high school kids struggling with addiction. They're special sober high schools, and it really, really helps kids get sober and stay sober. So they found that if they go to a sober high school, it really impacts them positively, because teenage addiction is a huge issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you and I obviously didn't survive Catholic school sober.
Yeah. But, yeah. Ugh. Yeah.
Harrowing.
Yeah. Just, harrowing.
Yeah. The book is just so fantastic. Guts.
I really appreciate you reading it. Thank you.
Well, it's so funny. People
do
of
you
your
like
stature,
the cover? I designed
it. I was for
it.
A weird going, I'm a big fan. I'm like, well, everybody's a big fucking fan. That's... Yes, I love it. Oh, my God. The pictures, the photography is
Thank
so
you.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's Guts, the Endless Follies and Tiny Triumphs of a Giant Disaster. And, yeah, the photography is you can tell which pictures you're completely trashed in. They're fantastic.
I know. You really can. It's sad. It's sad. I was like, whatever. I got to put it all in there. It's all in there.
But congratulations, series regular on Mom.
Thank you. Yeah, it starts up again in September. So I'm excited about
give
it.
Give our love to Allison Janney.
We will.
And God, but I love you. I love you on Twitter.
Love
I love you.
You. Love you back.
I love you back. If we're going to get you in powder form, dessert topping. if she's in book form,
I come
sitcom
in
form.
Whipped form. Whipped
yeah.
Form.
Yeah.
You're
Thanks, fantastic.
You guys.
Happy,
I appreciate
happy
it.
Hour. Happy dry happy hour, everybody, with Kristen Johnson.
Don't be dry on my account.
Hey, this is Frangela, and we host The Final Word with Frangela and Idiot of the Week podcast. And if you enjoyed this episode, you'll love our show, where every week we talk about real news, real funny. So come on over and listen to The Final Word with Frangela and find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.